40 New Year's greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Let's stand up and give a sunny side of sports salute to Riyad Mahrez of Algeria and Leicester City, who was named the Confederation of African Football's Player of the Year for 2016 at its annual awards ceremony in Abuja, Nigeria. Reporter Samson Omale tells us more from Abuja.
And the winner of the 25th African Player of the Year award is... The winner is Riyad Mahrez.
The 25-year-old who helped his club Leicester City lift their first ever Premier League title pulled a total of 361 votes to beat 2015 CAF African Player of the Year winner Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who had 313 votes, and Sadio Mane, who came third with 186 votes. Riyad Mahrez attributed his success to his teammates.
This award, I'm very happy, I'm very pleased. I want to thank all my teammates from Leicester and from Algeria, my managers, and my president of the Federation as well. And I want to dedicate to my family and all the African, of course, Algerian as well, and all the people who support me every day. I want Africa and I want the world. Thank you.
In 2016 alone, Mahrez won the PFA Players Player of the Year, as well as the PFA Fans Player of the Year, and also won the BBC African Football of the Year award.
And the club of the year 2016 is... Mamelodi Sundowns.
Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa went home with the African Club of the Year award, while coach Pitso Mosimane was named African Coach of the Year. Dennis Onyango of Uganda and Mamelodi Sundowns goalkeeper was awarded the African Player of the Year based in Africa. Other winners from the 2016 GLOCAF Awards include the Super Falcons of Nigeria, who won the Women National Team of the Year, while the Cranes of Uganda was named the National Team of the Year.
And the 2016 Most Promising Talent Award goes to Kelechi Iheanacho.
And the 2016 Youth Player of the Year is Alex Iwobi.
Tanzania music art Diamond Platinums and Afrobeat maestro Femi Kuti were on hand to entertain guests with thrilling performances, which included those coming from Omawumi and Yemi Alade, all Nigerian music stars. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. Let's give another sunny side of sports salute to Asisat Ashola of Nigeria and Arsenal Ladies Football Club, who was named the 2016 African Female Player of the Year in Abuja.
This is not for me. It's on behalf of all the female footballers in Africa to speak for us. We deserve more, in my opinion. A lot of things going on around the world now. We know it happens everywhere, but I mean, what we're going through in Africa right now is not something to write home about. It's nothing to write home about. Same thing going on with Ghana, same thing going on with Nigeria as well. I think we just have to do more. The Federation have to do more in every country regarding female football as a whole.
This is the second time Asisat Ashola has been awarded CAF's Female Player of the Year prize. The 22-year-old striker also won the award in 2014. Ashola was the top scorer at the 2016 Africa Women's Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon, where she found the net six times, and the Super Falcons of Nigeria were crowned African champions for a record-extending 10th time. However, there was controversy soon after the Nigerian ladies lifted the trophy in Cameroon. Members of the Super Falcons protested outside Parliament in Abuja last month over unpaid bonuses. I think Asisat Ashola is probably hinting at that protest when she says the treatment of female footballers in Africa is, in her words, nothing to write home about. Well, here's something you can write home about. Heather Maxwell's Music Time in Africa show on Sunday.
VVIP. Hello, music lovers. This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. This Sunday, tune in for a full hour of Africa's best music. Chatty and electro dance music? Check. Classic Monde Grill music? Check. Interview with founder of Ghanaian Hip Life, Reggie Rockstone? Check. There's this and so much more music for everyone in this show. So don't miss it. This Sunday, 1500 and 2000 UTC. On Music Time in Africa.
Thanks, Heather. RFK Stadium here in Washington has been tentatively selected to host a U.S. women's national soccer team match in early March. The game would be part of the She Believes Cup, a week-long tournament that will bring together four of the top five teams in FIFA's women's rankings: the United States, Germany, France, and England. The competition is expected to be made up of three doubleheaders, with the top-ranked USA facing number three France and second-ranked Germany playing number five England on the same date here in Washington. The U.S. Soccer Federation is in the process of finalizing contracts with several venues. The final locations and schedule should be set soon. Meanwhile, Bruce Arena, the head coach of the U.S. men's national soccer team, has invited 32 players to a training camp next week near Los Angeles, California. All of the players compete in Major League Soccer, which is currently in its off-season. The training camp will culminate with friendly matches against Serbia on January 29th in San Diego, California, and against Jamaica on February 3rd in the southern U.S. city of Chattanooga, Tennessee. Coach Bruce Arena is getting the Americans ready for 2018 World Cup qualifying matches in late March against Honduras and Panama. The Brazilian football club Chapecoense, which lost most of its team in a plane crash in November, will make its return later this month for a friendly match against defending league champion Palmeiras. The game will be held January 21st in Chapecoense's 20,000-seat Arena Conda in Chapeco, a city of about 200,000, which is located about 1,290 kilometers south of Rio de Janeiro. Chapecoense's head coach, Wagner Mancini, is still signing players to replace the 19 who were killed on a Colombian hillside November 28th. In pro boxing, it's being described as possibly the biggest fight of 2017. The heavyweight clash, April 29th, between Anthony Joshua and former world champion Vladimir Klitschko. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's climb between the ropes once again with Namdi Hollywood Moweta. Good evening, Namdi.
And a good evening, Sunny.
Namdi, let's begin in London, where two of the big boys in boxing, Anthony Joshua and Vladimir Klitschko, they faced off at Wembley Stadium, the 90,000-seat venue for their eagerly anticipated April 29th heavyweight clash. We'll hear from both fighters, Namdi, and what they had to say in the British capital. First, Anthony Joshua. He says a victory against Klitschko will help him in his quest to build a legendary career.
Knockout is the cherry on top, but to win, whichever way, I think is very possible. And this is a fight that can change from champion to legend overnight, right? It's a fight that will get the masses out and draw massive attention. That's the type of fight that can change the way people view you in your industry. So as I said, right now I'm IBF heavyweight champion of the world, but now it's about beating the right people to go down in history. But it's not doing it once, it's doing it over and over again. So this is just the start of that legendary campaign.
Namdi, what do you think? Can Anthony Joshua become a legendary heavyweight?
Well, Sonny, two sides to it. It depends on the outcome of the fight. If it, at the end of the night, it was an explosive knockout and the referee counting up to a million and Klitschko is still flat cold, yes. But if it ends up with Klitschko coming into the ring with that jab and grab style, boring 12 rounds like we saw with Tyson Fury, people will say, well, he beat an old 41-year-old, rusty heavyweight. So the outcome has to be an explosive knockout. Klitschko is out cold. Then we can say, yes, the Superman has arrived.
Namdi, at that same London news conference, former world heavyweight champion Vladimir Klitschko said he thinks it'll be a close fight.
We're so even in this fight. I would say it's a 50-50. Our size, our strength, whatever the youth and age, as I said, it's just a number, could go any direction. So we have a competitive fight with two athletes involved that having pretty much the same qualities, both Olympic champions. One was a champion for a long time, another one is a champion. So I think on different levels, it's a very special event. And I don't know when next time such fight could happen.
What do you think, Namdi? Will it be a 50-50 fight like Vladimir said?
Sonny, it can only be a 50-50 fight if Klitschko comes into that ring scared, hold, grab, frustrate Anthony Joshua, clinch all night without the referee telling him to stop it or cut it out. Then it becomes a 50-50 fight. That's the only way, and then he will win a boring 12-round decision.
Anthony Joshua coming off a third-round TKO victory over the Mexican-American Eric Molina in Manchester, England. Namdi, did Joshua show you anything new in that victory?
Sonny, he showed me that as a heavyweight, he did not only depend on his left jab. He was able to set up the big right hand, which is a thunder right hand, with the left jab, and he took out Molina in the third round. It was the total destruction of Molina. Remember, Molina went 9 rounds with Deontay Wilder, and Deontay struggled with Molina in the beginning of the fight. So a healthy Molina only went 3 rounds with Anthony Joshua. So compare that.
Anthony Joshua, the IBF heavyweight champion, do you think he's gaining more confidence in the ring, Namdi?
Sonny, remember, he knocked out 3 American heavyweights. Charles Martin, Dominic Brazil, and now Eric Molina. And look at the way he destroyed these 3 heavyweights, you know. The question is, can he take a punch?
For sure. When we go toe-to-toe, if he's hitting me in the head and I think, okay, I respect you, so I'm going to give you another shot, that would be crazy of me. So my job is to go out there and make sure that I'm hitting him and he's not hitting me. And I perform to my best capabilities, and it's a boxing match. It's no problem to hit someone. It's no problem at all in the ring.
Can he go into the late rounds, round 8, round 9? What happens if Klitschko hold and grab and jab and lean on him for 8-10 rounds. Will Anthony Joshua survive round 11, round 12? That's the question that will be answered come April 29th, Wembley Arena.
Wembley, known as one of the hallowed grounds of soccer or football, Namdi, and now it's going to be the venue for what is going to be hopefully a great heavyweight fight. Talk about the venue, and will you be ringside?
Sonny, yours truly will be ringside. I'll be back in the UK for the first time in years. I must be there to see homeboy do his numbers. Check this out, Sonny. That's 90,000 people at Wembley Arena. Millions around the globe watching. This fight will generate more than £50 million, Sonny. In the UK, in Europe, they say it's a super fight. In America, we say it's a blockbuster, a mega fight. You know, you must be ringside to feel it.
Now, Namdi, I know you have urged African fighters in the past to come to the USA and stake out their training grounds, that the USA is where the money is. Do you see Anthony Joshua eventually maybe coming to Vegas or New York or some of these big city venues in the U.S. that like to stage championship fights?
Sonny, don't forget, USA is the Mecca, you know. Right here in the Mecca, we have the arenas, we have the venues, the T-Mobile Arena, the MGM Grand, you know. And these venues, they bring in the big rollers. And the big rollers, when they come with a big fight, they play at the table and the casinos are happy, you know. So that's why the fighter can make $100 million. The fighter can make $200 million like Floyd Mayweather. Will he come to America after he destroys Klitschko April 29th? The big mega fight is with Deontay Wilder at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta.
Galala! Great show, bro.
Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Happy Friday, Andrew.
Happy Friday, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What is trending in the sports world on this Friday?
Well, trending today is the NBA All-Star Game. Now, the NBA All-Star Game isn't actually going to be happening until mid-February, but they've released the first totals from voting for the National Basketball Association All-Star Game. And we're seeing a lot of famous names popping up. Perhaps not surprisingly, topping the list with the most votes thus far is none other than LeBron James.
No surprise.
No surprise there, leading the Eastern Conference front court group. They break it up by Eastern and Western Conference and also by front court and guards. Among the guards in the Eastern Conference, you have Kyrie Irving as number one, Dwayne Wade coming in far behind him, almost half the amount of votes of Kyrie Irving. And DeMar DeRozan behind him. And then in the Western Conference, we have in the front court, Kevin Durant actually is right behind LeBron James in most votes overall. LeBron James so far has about 595,000 votes. Kevin Durant has about 541,000. So he's leading the front court in the Western Conference. And then another big name, no surprise here, among the guards in the Western Conference, Steph Curry with 523,000 votes. And your favorite and my favorite beard in all of basketball, James Harden.
How's he doing?
519,000 and change. So a tight race for the guards in the Western Conference. In fact, the top three, Steph Curry has 523,000 votes, give or take. James Harden has about 519,000, so about 4,000 behind Steph Curry, and Russell Westbrook is about 18,000 behind him with about 501,000. So a very tight race. In fact, that's the tightest of any of these four categories, is that one for the guards in the Western Conference. So we'll see who makes it out on top and who gets picked out of that list.
Andrew, I understand our Voice of America listeners can use social media to cast their ballot for the NBA All-Star Game.
Yeah, this is a great, cool new innovation that the NBA is using, how fans can vote. Of course, fans can vote online at nba.com/vote. That's where they've been able to vote for years. But you can also vote in the NBA app. And this is the coolest thing. You can vote on Twitter and Facebook. So you go on Twitter, you have to retweet, tweet, or reply with the NBA player's first and last name or their Twitter handle. So you don't even need to put the name. You can just put the, you know, I think it's at King James for LeBron. I believe that's his Twitter handle. And you have to put hashtag NBA vote. And it's the same thing for Facebook. You put the player's first and last name and that hashtag NBA vote, and they'll actually count that as a vote for that player.
So anywhere on your feed, you put that hashtag and it counts as a vote?
Yeah, so you can put that wherever. Now, the caveat is each tweet may and each Facebook post may only include one player's name or handle. So you can't go and do a tweet where you put, you know, 50 different handles for different players on there.
Oh, so only one vote.
One vote per tweet, one vote per Facebook post. But this is the interesting thing about that. You can only put one player's name or Twitter handle in each tweet. The Sacramento Kings had a little bit of fun with this on Twitter. They put out a tweet recently. They said, retweet if this should be the Western Conference starters. And they list Stephen Curry, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Kevin Durant, DeMarcus Cousins. Here's the problem. Stephen Curry, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Kevin Durant. All those names are misspelled. So it's actually, they write Stephen Curry with one R, Russell Westbrook instead of Westbrook, James Harden, so not James Harden, and Kevin Durant. And then they spell DeMarcus Cousins correctly. The idea being here that people are going to retweet this, not look at the spelling name, say, oh yeah, I like that. I'm going to retweet that. I'm going to try to vote for all of them and retweet this. Not realizing, A, that you can't vote for multiple players in one tweet. B, that these names are misspelled. So just by retweeting that, the only person you're really voting for is DeMarcus Cousins. So
Really
clever on their part that they were able to do that. However, the fans really quickly picked up on this and said, wait a minute, these are all misspelled. This isn't right. This is fake. So the fans they caught on pretty quickly. And it hasn't, unfortunately, for DeMarcus Cousins, or maybe it has. I don't know. He's in sixth place right now in the Western Conference front court. He's got about 202,000 votes. So well far behind Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard and other players that are leading. But maybe that's the reason he has all those votes, maybe, is because of that kind of viral tweeting campaign. Maybe he wouldn't have as many otherwise. I don't know, but we'll have to see.
Andrew, I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, a few months ago, maybe about 6 months ago, we talked about how Twitter was partnering with the National Football League to broadcast NFL Thursday night football games on Twitter. And this has become a trend that we've seen since then, where these social networks are partnering with sports leagues to transmit content and footage. And we're seeing it again. Twitter has announced its newest partner. They're partnering with the PGA Tour. So now you can watch golf on Twitter. Actually, starting just about 2 weeks from now, January 19th is going to be the first tournament that they're going to broadcast on Twitter. And it's going to run through August. And you can actually, the URL to find this is pgatourlive.twitter.com. Now, the interesting thing about this, other than the fact that you can watch golf on Twitter, which is interesting in and of itself, as we talked about with the NFL, there are a lot of restrictions about where that can be seen. It can only be seen in the U.S. It can't be seen by Twitter's global audience. This PGA Tour partnership is global. So it'll be available starting January 19th globally. So around the world, if you're a golf fan, you can go to Twitter and watch these golf tournaments. So it's a big partnership. It's a big jump forward for Twitter in the sports world. It's also a big jump forward for the PGA Tour. The PGA Tour and golf generally have been losing a lot of fans. It's younger generations aren't getting into golf as much as older generations. So I think this is on both sides kind of a win-win. I think the PGA Tour is looking for a new opportunity to reach some new fans. And I think Twitter is looking for a new stake in the sports world.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew, and have a nice weekend.
Thank you so much. You too.
And that wraps up the January 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Peter Hundley. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States welcomes the recent signing of a political compromise agreement by the government of the Democratic Republic of Congo, or DRC, and opposition party leaders. By paving the way for peaceful democratic elections in 2017, this agreement marks an important and historic step for the DRC and the region of Central Africa. The United States commends the willingness of President Joseph Kabila and opposition leaders to compromise on key issues, thereby laying the groundwork for the country's first democratic transfer of power. Under the Constitution, President Kabila should have left office on December 20th, at the end of his second and final mandate. A crisis ensued when he failed to organize elections and stepped down. Under the terms of the deal, President Kabila agreed not to seek a third term or change the Constitution, but will remain in office until the installation of his successor, following elections which will be held by the end of December 2017. An oversight council responsible for overseeing implementation of the agreement will be established and headed by opposition leader Etienne Tshisekedi, and a prime minister will be named from among the opposition Rassemblement coalition. The United States also commends the tireless mediating role played by the DRC's Conference of Catholic Bishops, leading to this agreement. Blessed with natural resources but burdened with corruption and political instability, the Democratic Republic of Congo has never witnessed a democratic transfer of power since it gained independence from Belgium in 1960. 2 decades ago, the country fought some of the deadliest conflicts in modern African history. Wars in the late 1990s and early 2000s dragged in forces from at least 6 African countries and left more than 3 million dead. The east of the country remains a battleground for armed conflict between rival militias. This political agreement provides an opportunity to take the DRC in a new and peaceful direction. The United States, said State Department Deputy Spokesperson Mark Toner, encourages the DRC government and opposition leaders to continue their cooperation as they work to implement this agreement and preserve the progress achieved on behalf of the Congolese people.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Lovers. This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. This Sunday, tune in for a full hour of Africa's best music. Chatty and electro dance music? Check. Classic Monde Grill music? Check. Interview with founder of Ghanaian Hip Life, Reggie Rockstone? Check.
Everybody.
There's this and so much more music for everyone in this show. So don't miss it. This Sunday, 1500 and 2000 UTC. On Music Time in Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, a discussion on the challenges of political transitions in Africa, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Tanzania, and Gambia, to name a few. Right here on the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. VOA. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.